Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll get through this eventually. Anybody need a worksheet? Just lift your hand up. If you didn't get a worksheet yet, just lift your hand up. Anybody? A couple over here. Down here, Oscar, down front here. Wood. I think there's one or two here. Oh, I think she's got one. Need one over here? Okay, we're on the far side here. Hold your hand up there so don't, there we go. All right. Eli needs one. Anaya needs one. All right. There we go. All righty. Anybody else? Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to start reading verse number 17. And we're going to go down to through verse number 29. I want to save 30, 31. And 32 for next time. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "This I say, therefore," and of course, when you know, you see the word therefore, you need to remember what it's there for. And so he was talking about we're the body of Christ, we're to bring glory to God. That's our great calling. And to do that, God is going to prepare us. When we got saved, he didn't zap us with all the spirituality. He did zap us with eternal life. He did give us the Holy Spirit to teach us. But he says we need to have, he says he gave some prophets and apostles and evangelists and pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body, the building up the body. And of course, we are the body of Christ. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So when Christ went, he sent the Holy Spirit back. And he's in us, and so now we are the body of Christ. And he says, okay, so this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, verse 17, that from now on, henceforth, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And he says, so we shouldn't be like everybody else. You have the Holy Spirit in you. There are a lot of people in the world who do not have the Holy Spirit in them. Well, there ought to be a difference. If God is in us, then there ought to be a difference. Now, I know few there be that find it. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there are that go in thereat. And I understand that. That means we're supposed to be a peculiar people. Now, some of us are more peculiar than others, but we're supposed to be peculiar people, different, not what everybody else, not what the rest of the world is. There ought to be a difference. If there isn't a difference, how are we going to bring glory to God? How are we going to shine? How are we going to, and again, it's not about showing ourselves off. It's about God shining through us, and how are we going to shine if God's not living through us? So he says, don't be like the rest of them. Verse 20, he says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. He says, we didn't learn to live like the Gentiles through Christ. We're trying to learn to live like Christ. And he says, that is if you've heard him. Have you heard his call and gotten saved? And are you being taught by him? We may get taught a little bit, but we ought to be some change. Of course, this morning we talked about, you know, who wants to just have a little bit of him? Listen, I want to have a lot of him. I want to seek after him with all my heart, have a perfect toward him, because he says, I got you great and precious promises. He's got things, he can do the impossible, but he's going to do that. He's not going to just throw those things out willy-nilly. He's going to put his hand on somebody that people can see that his hand is on. Verse 22. He's going to go on to explain this. That ye put off concerning the former conversation. Put your old way of life off. The old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. The old man is full of just a mess. According to the deceitful lusts. All that's in us is all that's in the world. The lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If we went through this last time. We are a body, soul, and spirit. Okay? The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's who you are. Our soul lives inside of this physical body. This physical body interacts with this environment, this realm, this physical realm. If we're not saved, we are spiritually dead. Just like a dead wire in the wall. It's not connected. There's no life there. There's no connection. God is there who wants to meet with our spirit. But if we're not saved, we cannot go in His presence. So we cannot get His influence, if we will. So all we have is what our flesh is saying our soul should have. And our flesh lies to us, our deceitful lust. It lies like a rug. I mean, it lies. Once we get saved, we now have our choice. We can listen. It's been turned on, but are we going to use what God's got coming to? Or are we still listening this way? So we've got to learn to kind of change our focus. Say, I'm going to hear what God wants me to do. I want to hear what the Word of God says. And so we have to learn Christ. It's going to make a difference. This thing is all corrupt. It's going to shoot holes into our life. Verse 22 says we've got to put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, verse 23, and be renewed, renovated, made new in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away, he said, now we're going to get more specific. We're supposed to be like Christ. That means we've got to put off the old man, put on the new man. All right, if we put on the new man, some things are going to change. Verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let's pray. We're talking about who's running the show. Who's running the show? Who's in charge? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for the good music you've given us this evening. Thank you, Ms. Karen, and thank you for the good reports and folks getting saved today. Thank you. I think we had over 100 kids on the buses this morning, and thank you so much for that. Thank you for the folks who are willing to go out in the heat and get them and bring them in, and I'm sure the boys and girls appreciate it. Lord, just thank you so much for what you're doing. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts to your word. Lord, give us your wisdom, your understanding. We most of all need your Holy Spirit. That's the difference. And work in our hearts. We give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been called. That is to be the body of Christ. Walking worthy of being called the body of Christ is a high calling. Think about that. I'm supposed to walk worthy of being called the body of Christ. It's no wonder that so many people are put off by church because they're put off by church people. We're the body of Christ. We are to be witnesses. The body of Christ should be low. We read it a little the other week there, in lowliness, in meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Do you realize the biggest influence that we have on others is how we treat each other? How we interact with other people. When it's all said and done, you could give all your money away. You could give your bodies to be burned and have not love, charity. We're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. We can do mighty things. We can go on mission trips and we could do this and do that. Listen, we could get a lot of folks saved who doesn't know us and miss out on leading others to Christ who do know us because our testimony is not worthy of being called the body of Christ. If we are the body of Christ, we should behave as Jesus would behave. We are to bring glory to Christ. Others are to see all that Christ is by allowing Christ to be seen in us, by allowing Christ to live through us. We are to grow up and mature. We are not to go through life walking as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity, the emptiness, the ignorance, if you will, of their minds. They can't live like Christ because they don't have Christ living in them. They can put on a good show for a while, but that's all it is. But if we're saved, we have Christ living us, and if Christ is living us, he ought to be able to be seen through us. So God has gifted the body of Christ with special people who help to perfect the saints and build up the body of Christ. The purpose is, we read it in verse 13, to unify the body. The purpose is to unify us, bring us all together, mature us, and make the whole body so we are no longer children who can be tossed about by philosophies that comes blowing through. And if we're going to see Christ in us, then we need to learn of Christ. We need to put off the old man, the flesh, and put on the new man by counting ourselves dead to the flesh and alive unto Christ. And the Spirit of God should be running our lives and not our sinful flesh. Now, who's running the show in your life? Chances are it changes from day to day. It shouldn't. If we're not careful, it changes from hour to hour. I tell you what, it's almost like, does it really change? Or is it that we can live like Christians as long as nobody's bothering us? As long as nobody gets under our skin, we can live like Christians. We live in a world where it basically says, it's not my fault. They did this to me. They caused me to get angry. Then we're living in the flesh. Because, listen, I pinch your flesh and your flesh is telling your soul what to do. Your flesh is going to say, smack that guy in the nose. You pinch my flesh and the Spirit's telling me what to do and the Spirit's going to say, love that fella. Something's going on in his life. He needs something. The Spirit's going to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's when we let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Which man are you wearing today? Is the old man in charge or the new man in charge? Is it sin or the Savior? I realized that the real test, after I was reading, you know, you get in here and you try to get all theological and all this stuff. You know what? The more I read this thing, the more I meditated on this scripture, the more I thought about it and so forth, I realized that the real test of whether you're wearing the new man shows up in the simple, average sins of us all. The run-of-the-mill issues that we deal with in life. We are to bring glory to God by allowing Christ to be seen in us. And Christ is seen most clearly in us by our everyday lives. Number one, let me give you number one. Who are you wearing today? Who are you wearing today? Verse says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed, renovated, made new, renovated in the spirit, the disposition of your mind, your thinking. He says, I need to change my disposition. You could say, I need an attitude adjustment. Used to be an old country song like that. It was an old country song. There was something about being needed an attitude adjustment. Sometimes we need an attitude adjustment. Our thinking needs to be changed. Renewing of our mind. Let me read something to you here. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I got to say, it's not my mind, it's God's mind to use. I want His thinking controlling me. I want His Word becoming part of who I am. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Him. When I fill my mind and my heart with the Word of God, it changes my thinking. When my thinking changes, my behavior changes. It's not just memorizing a bunch of scripture and say, okay, God, fix it. I did it. No. Until the scripture changes, renews your thinking, it hasn't done the job yet. Meditate on it. Verse 24 says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Righteousness. The new man. This is the way the new man thinks. He thinks fair. He's innocent. He's holy in character. He's holy in action. It's true holiness, pure and right without anything clouding our testimony. True holiness. He says he's going to live in true holiness, not self-righteousness, not feigning holiness. But a holiness that comes from the very heart of who the person is. When you talk to the person, there's nothing clouding you between them. You can tell what they are. I put here, you can't dress ourselves. We're supposed to put off the old man and put on the new man. But we can't dress ourselves. We're little kids. When we try to put on the new man all by ourselves, we're going to have a problem. When I was about, 3 or 4 years old, it was a day like today, and I dressed myself, and I was very proud of myself. And I remember these because I liked them. I thought they were really sharp. But I had these little shorts that had white and orange stripes. Just these little white shorts. And I don't know what it was, but I liked those little shorts. I also had a shirt that had white and orange stripes that went this way. And I saw white and orange and white and orange. They've got to go together. And so I'm going this way on the top and I'm going this way on the bottom. And I went out and said, here I am, Mommy. I thought, this one I got right. You know, the colors are right. I must have got this one right. And she says, well, Sterl, it'll be fine. You know, she didn't, you know. Our Father needs to dress us. We might need to make the choice of getting the old man off, and we've got to say, Daddy, dress me. Tell me what to put on. Teach me to be what I need to be. When I walk out of the place, I don't want them to look like I dressed myself. I want them to see that you dressed me, Daddy. We need to allow our Father to dress us every day. I was telling somebody the other day, I'm not a morning person. My wife's a morning person. An alarm goes off she goes, I have to throw one leg out so it makes the rest of me fall out of the bed, and then I'm awake. But I tell you what, when I wake up, sometimes you think I'm just going slow. But honest to goodness, I'm laying there. I know my eyes are shut, but I'm not sleeping. Not every time. But before I get up, I pray. I do. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to face today. I don't know who I need to help today. I don't know whose path I'm going to cross today. But Lord, I need your power. I used to say, Lord, help me. But that makes it sound like he's the helper. I've changed that. I say, Lord, here I am. Do with me what you want to do with me today. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, completely, and acceptable. Give it to him in a form that he can use. And he'll use you. We need to choose to be clothed in Christ so that others might see Christ. That's our calling. That's our calling. Now, are we walking as other Gentiles walk? Or are we walking as a new creation in Christ? Now, again, none of us are perfect. We all have our bad days, and we ought to confess and forsake them. That doesn't give us an excuse to say, well, you know what? I've been good for 4 days. I deserve a day off. No. No, I'm talking about the fact that when you get blindsided and you just, something caught you off guard, and you might need to leave the room and come back or something and go back and give yourself again, surrender again. But when others see us, do they see the Gentiles who are blinded, who are past feeling, who have given themselves over to lasciviousness, who are working all uncleanness with greediness, and can't get enough of the world, or do others see the body of Christ? That's what he's saying. Do they see the body of Christ? Number two, wear truth. Wear truth. You have those other blanks, right? Renovated and thinking. Up in number underneath letter A there. You got those, right? Now we're down in the renovated and thinking. Number two, wear truth. He says, the word here is take off. Watch. Wherefore, putting away lying, put on, in other words, I need to take off something, right? So verse 25 says, wherefore, putting away lying. Putting away lying. Do you realize a half-truth is not truth? Now, I don't know. I think the Lord would give some mercy, but if your wife says that this makes me look fat, I don't know. There's got to be some way to get through that, I guess. But we need to put away lying. We need to be able, they need to be able to look at you and say, I know that he'll tell me the truth. I had a guy call me up that I haven't talked to probably in 14 or 15 years. He was somebody I counseled with and worked with down in Maryland. And I don't know, after I left, I guess he just kind of got off in the wrong area there. In the meantime, he's had a boy grow up and there's issues and probably going to end up in jail and all kinds of things. And he called me up. I said, Pastor Walsh, do you think I could talk to you? And I said, well, sure. And so we chatted a little bit. And I said, and I started talking to him. I said, now hang on. I said, I'm going to have to be honest with you. I knew you would be. I said, this is going to sound a little rough. I knew it would. We've been there before. Now, I wasn't mean, but I was honest. People need to know that you're, listen, it's a sad thing when Christians can't make a deal on a handshake. They ought to know that it's not an excuse to be mean. Well, I'm not going to lie. You're the ugliest thing I've seen come down the pike in a long time. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not. But we've got to be honest. He says, put away lying. This is simple. This, you'd be surprised how Christians will lie. I mean, they were out fishing. I'm not saying we had it. I'm not, as far as I know, we haven't had this here, but I know where it came from sometimes. Well, evangelistic speaking, I think we had probably 500 in church today. We had 200 on our bus, busting their seats, 48, unless you put them all in there hard, and put, you know, 72, I think, put three in a seat. We got to be honest. Simply honest. That means, it says, putting away. That means to cast away from you. Get as far away from it as you can get from lying. Deception. falsehood. He says, put on. What are we supposed to put on? Speaking every man truth. Not concealing, unadulterated truth. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for they are members one of another. Remember what we are? We're members. That really means, if you say, well, I lost a member. You don't hear that very often anymore, but that's, you know, if you cut a finger off, I lost a member. So they lost a body part. It's a limb, a part of the body. We ought to be truthful. Be truthful. If nothing else, everybody at least will know the person's honest. Letter C, lying is false communication. Lying is false communication. How well, watch for this. We're talking about between the body. How well is a body going to work if the body is sending bad signals to the other parts of the body? The parts of the body are going to move based on the signals it has gotten from the other parts of the body. If the brain is telling the body to do something that it shouldn't be, it's false information, we're going to have a problem. We need to be able to communicate in truth. Letter D, we need to live in truth. We need to live in truth. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. We need to speak the truth in love. By the way, Satan is a liar and the father of it. If we're living like Satan, we're lying, we're living like Satan, we're living like Satan, we're not living like the body of Christ. Letter E, are you really an honest person? Are you really an honest person? Or do you do, wait a minute. Do you shade the truth just a little bit to get your way? Do you shade the truth to make yourself look just a little bit better? Do you shade the truth to get what you want? Do you make yourself out to be something that you're not? Are you honest and truthful? Do you tell the truth or do you tell tales? We're Christians. We ought to be able to be honest. Number three, wear forgiveness. Wear forgiveness. Verse 23 says, be ye angry and sin not. That mean at be angry says that have that is that it really has that desire, excitement, it's a passion, abhorrence, enraged over. It says, okay, you're passionate about something. All right, it makes you angry. Well, don't sin. Don't allow it to cause you to miss the sin. It means to miss the mark. Don't allow yourself to be caused to miss the mark of being worthy of your vocation. I put a little thing, and we won't go back to you. You can back and look at it sometime. Mark 3, 5. Jesus is angry. He says he's angry, but then he says he's grieved over the hardness of their hearts. It's kind of like saying, I can't believe they don't get this yet. He's not mad at the person. He wants them to know truth. He's grieved over it, but he's angry at the situation. Passionate about it. Sometimes your passions get up. Sometimes you can get, so to speak, enraged over the situation. But wait a minute. Don't use that as an excuse to sin against that person. In fact, you can get angry at somebody who you call your enemy, but what are you supposed to do with their enemies? Love them. Okay, something came at you. You don't have to smack the guy. You don't have to tell them a thing or two.
Well, just wanted to be honest.
Letter B, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That simply means don't hold a grudge. Get over it before the day's over. Get over it before the day's over. Don't hold a grudge. There are churches all over America who haven't done anything for God. Not that they meant to rebel against God, not that they weren't some good people, but they were doing what we're talking about this morning. They got into the flesh, they were doing their own thing, and they're missing out on the great blessings of God because something came between them and Him. And it was that anger, that little grudge they have against somebody else across the way. Mom, Dad, the guy who got the job I wanted to get, the lady who got the solo that I wanted to get, someone who thinks they're really something. They came in driving in this fancy car. You know where they walked right past me and didn't shake my hands. They probably think they're something. They probably didn't see you. Or they, you know what I mean? What are you angry at? Ephesians 6:10, just a page over, says this: Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. My point is this: we don't wrestle. That person's not your enemy. If that person really is giving you a hard time, they're just a victim of the enemy. How do you handle when somebody crosses you? Do they see Christ, or do they see your flesh? You heard me say it a few weeks ago. Forgiveness, the little boy says, is the scent that a rose gives off when it's been crushed beneath the foot. What do you smell like when you've been hit and crushed? When someone steps on your toes, what comes oozing out? Is it Christ, or is it the flesh? Letter D, how's your temper? How's your temper? Do you get angry when you don't get your way? Do you get angry when folks get in your way? And letter E, do you continue to hold things against others? Do you continue to hold things against others? The test of whether we're wearing the new man or the old man is simple things like, can you speak the truth in love? Can you love somebody who hurt you? I mean, normal, everyday things. Some kid is trying to give you change at the fast food store. Not this one. He knows what he's doing. But I've seen some from time to time. Brother Riley here, he knows what he's doing. But in fact, I like the way you did that the other day. I hadn't had anybody do this in a long time. I've been at McDonald's, can you tell? Anyway, I went and I gave him, I don't know, a $10 bill, whatever it was, and he gave me the change, and he counted it out for me. Isn't that cool? Boy, you don't see that very often anymore. He actually did, and sometimes, you give him this, and you give him an extra nickel, and you know what you're doing, and they look at this thing, oh my soul, what are we going to do? And they punched it in, and they already, and the drawer came out, and they closed it shut, and they don't know what they're going to do. They have no idea how to make change. And all you wanted was a dollar sweet tea for a dollar six, right? That's what I go in for. And it's 15 minutes later where they get the manager and this and that and the other thing. And how do you handle it? Do they see Christ, or do they see you? Number four, wear purity. Wear purity. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Now, wait a minute, we're trying to see Christ in us. That's what we're trying to do. And he's getting right down where the rubber meets the road. He wants them to see Christ. That word place means a spot, a place to abide, a location, an opportunity to stick his little neck in there, to kind of squeeze himself in the middle between you two and make somebody mad. Just to kind of slide a little thought in your mind that's not going to put you in the wrong direction. He says, neither give place to the devil. That word, they use the word devil there for a reason. That means the false accuser, the slanderer. Letter B, there is no place for the devil in the body of Christ. Think about that. We're the body of Christ. There's no place for the devil in the body of Christ. Don't allow your anger, your hurt, to lead you to hurt someone else. I think this particular verse, when it talks about be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, and then it says make no place for the devil, I think there's a connection. Somebody hurts your feelings. Ooh, slowly I turn, inch by inch. And God, he says, no, don't you, by the way, that was from Lucy, wasn't it? Anyway, I love Lucy. Anyway, don't let the devil get his little wiggle his way in there. Something happened. You seal that right off with the grace of God. You seal it right off with forgiveness. You keep yourself pure. Don't let him get his little grimy hands on your life, on what you're trying to do, because he's going to mess you up. Letter C, don't allow Satan to do his work through you. Don't let him do that. Letter D, fill your heart so much with the things of God that there's no spot left for the devil to squeeze his way in. Fill yourself with the Lord. Listen, when he's trying to put in a little thing, you think, well, that doesn't belong here. Get that out of there. Well, that's not Christ. That's devil work. Your little ire, you know, the hair starts to come up in the back of your neck. Your foot starts tapping. Oh, he's making space. Don't even, you know what it means is forgive it right there. Because if you don't, he's going to make space. As soon as you start thinking about it, we're making space. And he's just going to step right on in there. Step right in there. Let me back up here. What kind of lies do you allow into your life? Make no place for the devil. What do you allow thinking? Listen, our thing is supposed to be renewed, renovated. What are you allowing to come back in and mess the place up? I mean, my dad, when he restored cars, he restored them better than they were original. He did. I remember when I knew he wanted to do a good job, but when you start grinding off casting marks that were there when they built the thing, you know you're restoring it better than it was original. But I remember some things. Janet tells a story, you ladies have heard it. He brought home, he was so proud of his 1921 Stanley Steamer. And he was just proud. He brought it on sawhorses. The frame was laying against the wall, and there was bushel baskets all over the place. And he was going to have to put this thing together. And you remember Janet was just got in the family, and he was showing it. He was just proud of this thing he got, and he said, and it's all there. And she says, how do you know? He knew. And he put that thing together, every nut and bolt, ended up being a grand national prize winner of the AACA, and it's over in Europe now. Someone's trying to sell for $125,000. That's not what he got out of it. But anyway, and I worked on that thing too. I ought to get a little cut. But anyway, once you got that thing all renovated, you don't just get in the car. You take the shoes off. Some of you saw his Maxwell down there. Years ago when he first did it, it had white treads on the running boards. And the running boards were polished, the edges of the running board were polished brass. There's nothing to step on to get in. As a little kid, he refinished that when I was 5. I tell you what he would do. He'd pick me up and lift your feet up, and he'd put me in the car. I wasn't supposed to touch, because we don't step on the white, you don't step on the brass, you mess it all up. You know, you don't mess it up. God's been cleaning up your house. Make no place for the devil. That dirty dog's going to come in there, and he's going to put footprints all over your place. And when people see you, they're not going to see that clean, renovated heart. But they're going to see the same old dirt of the world that was there before. What do you allow into the eye gate? What do you allow into your ears to listen to? What kind of situations do you allow yourself to enter that actually gives the devil the opportunity to fill your heart with lies? Close the door, keep him out. Do you have a shining testimony? And if for no other reason, so that others may see Christ, do you? Number 5, wear generosity. Wear generosity. Verse 28 says this, "Let him that stole steal no more." Let me say it this way. Stop being a taker. Stole means to take that which belongs to others. Brother B says, "But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth." Rather than taking, let him give. This is Christ. This is Christ. That word labor there means to cut. It means to work hard. It means to feel fatigued. He says, "Well, I worked hard for that." Yes, and give it to somebody. Who gave you the breath and the energy and the ability to do what you did? Christ did. He said, "Well, then be the body of Christ. Get your hands engaged in the work. Get involved in a good, honest work. Be a giver. Work so you have something to put into the hands of others rather than taking things out of their pockets." I tell you one thing, the pet peeve that I have is Christians who poor mouth. I'm serious. Christians who poor mouth. "Well, we can't do this. We can't do that. We got to give God the bottom of the barrel." "Well, let's see. I don't have this jacket I've worn for 35 years, got some holes in it, but I'll give it away. Somebody can use it." Well, okay, they can use it, that's fine. But the fact that you really want to give somebody, buy them a new one. "Well, I can't afford it." Well, then maybe we need to go back to this morning's message. Because when our heart's perfect toward Him, He provides and protects us and promotes. We're so busy saying God can't afford. Now, I'm not saying waste money. No. Listen, we ought to be good stewards. If you can do some things and do it cheaper, well, that's fine. But let's not poor mouth God. We're not more spiritual because we have nothing. You're not more spiritual because you have everything. But the fact is, God provides. God cares. And what we really need to do is say, "You know what? God gave it to me, I'll give it to you, because my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory." The Bible says so. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He'll add, and all these things shall be added unto you." And maybe if He didn't give you more, maybe He doesn't trust you with more. "Cast your bread upon the water and it'll come back. Pressed down, shaken together, shall the Lord give unto you." You give. God will give back. You give to the poor, you've lended to the Lord, and He will repay, the Bible tells us. Pressed down, shaken together. Years ago, Snydersburg, Simmons Ice Cream Store. Remember Simmons Ice Cream? You ever played ball out there? Yeah, out there in the meadow there. And we used to go out there, and you could buy homemade ice cream, and then if you could buy it, they would dip it for you. You buy a quart of ice cream, and they get it down there, and they dip it in there, put it in there, and they pack it down. And they put them, and they pack it down. And then he pack it down. And he'd shake it and knock it on the front of there. He'd pack it down. And then it had this little lid on it. You're supposed to close it up. He wouldn't do that. He would keep piling on top. You ever buy it like that? Yeah. He'd pile it on top of it. Then he put a little piece of wax paper or something on top of it and wrap it up in newspaper. And you take it home. Every time I think of that verse, it says, "He will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall the Lord give unto you." Letter C, are you a giver or a taker? Letter C, are you a giver or a taker? Some folks are always trying to see what they can get out of others. Do you expect to serve or be served? Now hang on. There are folks, I know that there are some natural causes here and some legitimate things. But there are folks who are on welfare when they could work for a living. A Christian shouldn't do that. You're stealing from those who need it. I'm sorry. Maybe you can't do what you used to do. Do something else. "Well, I don't have a job." Well, then your job is to go get a job. Really? In fact, everybody wants to do it online almost, so go down to the library someplace or one of those career centers or something, if you don't have a computer, and do it. The fact is, there's way too many people who will sit home all day and play video games on the computer when they don't have a job. So why can't I don't have to go to work because I don't have a job? I have more respect for somebody who flips hamburgers at age 45 at McDonald's than somebody who sits home waiting for the big one to come along. I really do. I thought, listen, well, then I won't. Listen, God sees your heart. I'm more worried about what God thinks about who I am than anybody else thinks who I am. Go do something. Letter D, selfishness takes. Selfishness takes. Almost done. We got our meeting coming up here. Letter 6, wear kindness. Kindness. K-I-N-D-N-E-S-S, kindness. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, I understand that let no corrupt communication is talking about maybe bad words and all those kind of things. I understand that. But that word corrupt just means rotten, putrefying, worthless, hurtful, degenerate, vicious. And within the context, when it talks about, I want words that's going to edify, I think it's saying, you don't want words that tear people down. Don't need words. You know what? We probably have all done some things we probably shouldn't do, but, you know, don't tell a kid, you're rotten, you're worthless, you'll never do anything in your life. Well, you're pointing them in that direction when you do that. Now, we've got to be truthful, but helpful. We've got to be careful with these things. It says, but let that which is good to the use of edify, in other words, works well at helping to build up, it strengthens, it makes complete, that it may minister grace, in other words, give benefit to the hearers. If they're so bad, then why don't you do something to help them out? Help them get in the right direction. Hold our tongue. Because, you know, when we do this, what we're saying is, I know more than you do. You're less than me. And they feel like they're less. It doesn't build them up. Now, I'm not talking about false self-esteem, pumping up with a bunch of real estate. No, I'm saying, listen, all right. Well, then here's what we need to do. Here's the first step. Let's do this. Well, the Bible says this. Well, I don't know that. Well, then read your Bible and find out. You got the same one I've got. Ephesians 4:7 says, but on every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We've got to work through us. Verse 11 says, and he gave some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the edifying the body of Christ. What we need to be doing is edifying, building each other up, not tearing each other down. Letter C, how's your mouth? We're almost done. How's your mouth? Are your words hateful? You know, sometimes we can get so accustomed to doing that, we don't even hear ourselves anymore. You know, it's funny. Once, when I went out to Hiles Anders, and some folks been out there, you know, did anybody out there know Phil Sally, Brother Sally? You know Brother Sally? Yeah, you knew Brother Sally. I didn't know Brother Sally. I went in there, and of course, I was a married student. He would help the married students find work. And so I went into his office, and it was kind of down around the back corner there. I went down his office, and he's sitting in there in his chair. His collar's down here like this, you know, and he says, all right, boy, sit down and see if you're as ugly sitting down as you are standing up. Now, that was funny. Just kind of the way it was. He was trying to make you. But you know what? If you keep saying that enough times, you're going to start saying, maybe I'm really am ugly. Look in the mirror there. Especially when it's somebody that, say, a dad. You know, it's funny for a little bit, but after a while, there's not the opposite. You start wondering, maybe I'm just plain dog ugly or something. I don't know. Are your words hurtful? Hurtful. Ah, you're stupid. You're dumb. Are your words, here's the word, heinous. H-E-I-N-O-U-S. I wanted my alliteration there. Heinous. H-E-I-N-O-U-S. Atrocious. Terrible. Shocking. Scandalous. Wicked. There's those bad words. Do you tell a joke that's just a little bit off color? Does it cloud Christ, or does it come through clear as crystal? Are your words helpful? Helpful. Are your words healing? Sometimes a doctor has to do some surgery, but you know you're going in the right direction. Are your words hopeful? We may be on bottom, but God's still on the throne. We can do this because God can do this. Words like that. You know, we can get all theological about this, but really it is as simple as saying, as the body of Christ, don't lie. Be lovingly honest in all that you do. Make sure your yea is yea and your nay is nay. Don't deceive others, especially those of your own body. Watch your temper. Forgive before you do something sinful. Stay away from sin as much as possible. Sin may find you, but do not go looking for it. And if you see it coming, don't give it room. Put others first. Yourself second. Don't be a taker. Be a giver like Christ. And do what you can to draw others to Christ rather than pushing them down and pushing them away. This is really just real life in action. Who are you wearing today? Are you wearing the old man who's walking blindly in vanity of his mind, just like the other Gentiles out in the world? Or have you put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness, when you have been renewed in the spirit of your mind by being taught by Christ as the truth is in Jesus? Who's running the show? You know what? When the day's show is over, who did everyone see? By the way, you can't put Christ on yourself. You've got to let him put it on. Don't can't dress yourself. Did they see the sinful flesh, or did they see the Savior? You can't pretend. You can't pretend. Father, thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Thank you for doing a work in our hearts. And thank you for these dear folks. Lord, we give it to you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's take our hymn.